Matthew chapter 22, if you would. I don't know about you guys, but I've been loving the series that Pastor Matt has been going through in 1 John, how he's been like honing our focus in on the topic of love. And I think it's something that we can see that it's very practical and that it's very tangible to us. Because we, as important as many of the concepts in the Bible are, like coming and looking at like what do we need to do from this, I think is the important final question that we need to always ask. We see in the Old Testament, and James speaks about this, how Israel professes that the Lord their God is one. He understands that, and they say that's good that they understand this, but the point is that like even the demons understand theology. We need to take it a step further. We need to move into the practicality of it. And what a beautiful thing about 1 John that we've been going through is we've seen it rehashed so many times that this commandment of love is not a new commandment. He says this is a commandment of old. Like even though it's been rehashed to them, it's something that they've seen before. So that's why I wanted us to come over here to Matthew chapter 22, because in this we see Jesus articulating, and not even Jesus is the first one to articulate this concept, but we see him focusing in on the topic of love. And so if you take your Bibles in Matthew 22, go to verse 34, it says that when the Pharisees had heard that Jesus had put the Sadducees to silence, they were gathered together, and one of them, which was a lawyer, asked him a question, tempting him, and said, "Master, which is the great commandment in the law?" And Jesus said unto him, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment, and the second is like unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and prophets." So let's pray real quick, and then we'll just dive into that briefly. Father God, we're just so grateful for your word and your spirit that you have given us to guide us and direct us. Lord, we pray that as we go through our lives, we ask for you to indwell us, that we remind ourselves that you are wisdom and you are love. And so if we want love, we don't just ask for love, we ask for you, so that you can fill us and we can go and do the wise and loving things to those around us. Don't ever let us focus on the things that are just in our heads, but be able to move forward with action and practically live out what your gospel has called us to, Lord. Thank you for your gospel and the love that you have demonstrated through it, and just remind us of it constantly. In Jesus' name, amen. So Jesus here focuses in on the commandment which they have heard from old. And I think it's important because, like, if you look, they've been testing Jesus, trying to trip him up and get him in a position that is compromising with what he's going to say. And so they go and ask him a political question to start. They're asking about taxes. They go and they move to a theological concept and ask him about the afterlife and the resurrection. And then we have someone here who asks them the most tangible question, like, how do we live? And if you look in the book of Mark, it's painted a little bit differently. It looks like it's a genuine question. And here Matthew kind of leans it to be a little more ambiguous, but regardless, like the point is the same. Jesus has been answering these wisely, and he's now given this last question. And so the first thing he says out of the whole Old Testament, out of all the commandments that are given there, he tells them to love God, and basically in a full sense. He says, love God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. And you know, in Mark it will say, with all your strength. And we don't need to divulge into the different sections of who we are. The whole point is, we should, with all of our being, love God. And here's why, because if we love God, the result is that we will love the things that God loves. I gave this example to our youth group when we were going through Mark, as I told them, whenever I was starting to like Kylie, there were things that she liked that I did not like. One of those things being disco music. But because she liked disco music, I started listening to more because I wanted to be around the things that she wanted to be around because it meant I got to be around her. And then eventually, through osmosis now, I now like disco music, in a sense. And so there are more things that fit into that category. But it's the same thing with God, not with disco music, but the things that God loves, because we want to be close to him, we're going to love the things that he loves. Because God is good, not just that he has goodness, he is good, we are going to love the things that are good. Because God is love, we're going to find ourselves in that love. Because God is justice, we are going to seek justice. You know, love mercy and walk humbly with our God. And so that's the first point that he makes is, and it's really the linchpin of everything, is love God. He could have stopped there. That is the greatest commandment. But Jesus gives them a little bonus here. He adds to it, to love your neighbor as yourself. And as you already see, if you do the first one, you're going to do the second one. Right. God loves his creation. He's made them in his image. So if you love God, you will love your neighbor. And I love that he puts it in, as the Old Testament puts it, as yourself. See, the Bible does not have to make it clear that, like, by nature we love ourselves. And we know that, like, there can be problems with that, but the Bible's not saying, hey, like, you should not care for yourself. I mean, think in Ephesians chapter 5, like, it tells the husbands to love their wives as they love themselves, because they take care of themselves, they feed themselves, they love them. So in the same way, like, we see the Bible's giving us, not that we should think more of ourselves, but that we take care of ourselves and we do the same with others too. And he gives this big statement at the end, and he says, on these two hang all the law and the prophets. So he's saying, you can sum up all of the law in a simple phrase, and it's love God and love others as yourself with your whole being. And the question is how? We just said if we love God, we're going to love people. But realize with both of these things, there's not a single commandment we can point to that we can't answer with those commandments. If you love people, you're not going to kill people. If we love people, we're not going to steal from them. We're not going to lie. You can line up every single one of the Ten Commandments and realize if you love people, you won't do the second six that it says that it commands you not to do or the things that it commands you to do. And if you love God, you're not going to go against the first four. You're going to honor him in the Sabbath and his name. So then the question then is, how do we love God? Well, I mean, the whole of the Bible is written so that we understand this. It's not written just for rules, but to teach us how to love God. It shows us how God has loved us. We love him because he first loved us. And so I'll call us and at the end here with my favorite verse that I think just describes it well, but the answer is the gospel. God has commendeth, or he has demonstrated his love towards us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. When we are at our worst moments, God's love shone through in the fact that he humbled himself to become a person to come and serve us and die for us. The gospel is not just for the lost people so we can get them saved. It's to recalibrate ourselves, to center us on God's love. So that the next time we think, how in the world do I love these people that seem unlovable? Well, let's go back and look at the fact that we're unlovable and see God's love for us. And if we do that, if we look at our unlovableness and how we've still been loved, we can move to love others. Just as in the same way, Jesus says, those who have been forgiven of much are going to forgive much too. So remind yourself of the gospel daily, and that will bring you to love other people. And we'll be going through that. I know Matt will be touching more on this as we go throughout. But that's all that I have for you guys. We'll just miss in prayer and then we can get started with our meeting. Father God, we're just so grateful for your love, Lord. And we know it's something we take for granted all the time. But we just pray that you remind us of it and remind us of its potency, Lord, and move us to action through it. Don't let us ever just go flippantly in our lives, but make us intentional with how we love other people as a response to you, so that our whole life is pointing to you. There's never a moment that we're not pointing to your love. Thank you for this time that you've given us, Lord, and just bless us as we go about our days. In Jesus' name, amen.